I hope you didn't get tired or scared, or I hope you didn't get goosebumps when you heard what I said, but we got to speak out the truth. I want to share with you a little bit. We just got out of a pit. From my 37 years of being a Christian, I think these last 6 months were the hardest. And I say the hardest because everything crumbled. When I said crumble, my health was an issue because of my health. The work became an issue. The place where I was renting to have the little group met closed, so we had to be out without a place to meet. Now we're meeting in the fire station. We're looking to be able to rent a church building because they give more flexibility. And to crown everything, I had a kitchen fire that I was out of the apartment for 6 months. So all at the same time kind of had me pretty choked. And I just want to thank everybody that's praying for us, supporting us, because it was tough. Some told me quit. God is telling you to quit. Some told us that God was stretching us for something bigger. And, well, we're supposed to get an answer for our church building. They called me that we can use it, but first they told me, no, not without the insurance policy at hand. I told them I paid it, but I haven't got it. But now I told them, no, I got to wait for the policy to be in my hand to get in. We got the house back on the 15th of February. We got the apartment back. Well, I haven't got the job yet. I haven't got all my health back, but what I really like is that God is in the throne. And him being in the throne, we're okay no matter what. And I just wanted to share that so you can keep praying more for us, because we're not out of the water yet, but God is still in the throne, right? I'm going to share something that, it's been in my heart because the places I have gone, for some reason, the church number is shrinking. It's becoming smaller, smaller and smaller in many churches. Even in the big churches where I have gone, I'm trying to raise support for the additional cost of the building we're trying to rent and the insurance and all that. But as the times go by, I see even the church, my sending church, all the people I go, they're new. Most of them are new. There's hardly any people that were there when I left, just a couple of years ago. Everywhere I have gone, the number of congregations is getting smaller. Even in Wenatchee, I mean in Chelan, I thought the people were going to assemble again. But for some reason, they got used to being at home, having Bible studies at home, and they want Bible studies at home, which God's plan is the church, for them to come to church. I said the only difference that is in coming to a church building and staying at home is that I cannot ask for an offering at your house. We can pray, we can do, but God still wants us to meet in a place that he represents his name. Oh, but okay, well,
Help me pray for them that they could go back, because most of them, they just want to keep the Bible studies at home, which is not, it's not the end of the world, but God wants us to meet in a church building. So we're going to try to do that. I'm going to be speaking about something that I want to share something. I have gone through some churches, and I'm going to talk about the Great Commission, which is in, go to Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. And you're not going to believe what I'm going to say, but if you don't, it's okay. I seen a church that had his baptistery with plants. They put a garden in their baptistery. Why? I don't know. Most of the baptisteries have accumulated stuff that they're just saving for. They just do. But the point I want to make is that they're not bringing new people. And some I have talked to them what they do to do the outreach. I still do what they call cold turkey, knocking on doors. That's not the only thing I use, but that's what I was raised with, and that's what I do, knocking on doors. Yeah, it's hard work, and it gives a little bit result, not like before that they used to want to come to church. They would open you the door. Now they kind of open you the door this way, and you have to be kind of, that's if they open you the door. But methods, principles, the same, don't change. But methods do. And I want to, through this message, I want to encourage everybody to, some people say we haven't started soul winning or reaching out because of the COVID. Yeah, the COVID messed us up good. But the COVID is over. We need to start reaching out. And when I say reaching out, it's not the only thing knocking on doors. But we have to have the vision and the compassion enough that we're doing the things out there that we expose people with the gospel. We got to be giving out the gospel. Yeah, the COVID changed a lot of things. As a matter of fact, some relatives of mine passed away. And we're still kind of, ¿Cómo se dice, amor, echarte? We're still using that hand sanitizer, and we're still kind of holding back, but we have to go forward more than ever because our time is short. Prophecies are coming, filling up right in front of our eyes. And Jesus, we're going to meet Jesus one way or the other. He comes or we go. But the time is coming, it's going. Here in Matthew, chapter 28, we read the following verses, 16, Matthew 28, 16 to the 20. Now this is one of the, it's called the Great Commission because I think it's the most biggest thing that God wanted us to do as church. Then the 11 disciples, let's read. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, bring us all the things that we need, Lord, so we can reach out and give the gospel to the community that they're lost and condemned to go pay their sins, condemning themselves, and Lord, help us be the vessels that you want us to be. Lord, reaching out for so many groups has been forgotten. They just do a lot of things, but they have forgotten about reaching out. Lord, help us all to be witness as you ordained us, as you command us in your scripture, and help us be useful in any way we can. We ask you all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Great Commission. It's called Great Commission because it's the most greatest thing that we need to be doing. It's the Great Commission because it keeps us busy, keeps us occupied. Somebody said, there's two things that all churches have to do, is to bring the lost, giving them the gospel, and edify the saints, train them to go do the same. Now, there has to be a balance. But I really think that we need to be out there somehow. I know friends that through food boxes, they get to know people and they give them the gospel. Through work, they're the foremen and have a lot of people under them. Sometimes they go to the lunchroom and ask them to gather. But the thing is that the gospel has to go out. We have to expose ourselves. People are debating that if we have to go knocking on doors. Let me tell you, methods change, and knocking on doors is a method, but it's not the only thing. Some say the internet, some say the radio, some say however we can. We have to expose the Word of God, because if we don't expose the Word of God, what has happened? This man that I was working with, this missionary, said, well, churches come and churches go, because he wanted to sell the building and close. We found out that later, but we have to be reproducing ourselves. God puts us to bear fruit. And we have a little group here, some ideas that have to do, but God gives us specifications what to do. In the first the verse number 19 tells us, go ye therefore. Go. How? Well, I don't know. You can give tracts. We can give out the gospel in writing. We can invite friends. I tell my wife, hey, there's a new neighbor, make a pie or do something so we can go meet her and be friends so we can have a chance to witness to her. I have told teenagers, go do that old man's yard, Mondi's yard, so he can give us a chance to meet him so we can give him the gospel. I mean, there's no limitation what we can do to try to be exposing the gospel. But we have to go. And everything we do, no matter what it is, it has to have the purpose to reach, to give the gospel. Can everybody say amen? We need to be exposing. Now, there's a verse that I really like, and it really shakes me, because look in the book of Acts, chapter 6 and verse 7. The book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 7. Could somebody read it for me really loud? Oh, this is not Sunday school, huh? Sunday school is past. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. But the key was the word, that they gave the word, and people absorbed the word, and they multiply. But they say, hey, that was then. Hey, it could happen now. We got the same God. The God that made wonders and miracles in the Old Testament is the same God we have today. The only difference is the way we interact with him. So, look at verse 12:24. Says almost the same thing, just different words. 12:24. You have it? Wait for me. verse 24, it says, but the word of God grew, and what happened? They multiplied. Somebody said, if every family would get one family a year, which is, whew, that's a lot of time. 1 year, if one teenager would get one friend a year, we would multiply. If every single mother, every widow, if we could just get one, just one a year, we would multiply. But sometimes people lose focus. What God have us here? I know we have to take care of the family. I know we have to work. I mean, there's a routine that we have to follow. But we cannot forget to go, to be there, to be the light and the salt of this world, because they're perishing. We just have to have that in our mind, so anything we can do to be able to expose ourselves to the people, to give them the gospel. The more the gospel is given, the more opportunities for people to be saved and multiply. And brothers, let me tell you something. A lot of churches have a few, but we have to teach all the church, the whole church, to know how to witness for Christ. Why? Well, did you know that we're all ordained to do so, to go? I mean, you're gonna be out there somewhere. You go to the groceries, you go to the mall, you go to shopping, and there's people around. There's your friends, your close friends, your relatives, and we need to be conscientious that the purpose that God has brought us to the body is to be witness. You know what Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says? And you shall be witness. But that's why we got the pastor. Well, let me tell you, the pastor has a different gift than all of us, because God wants somebody to be in charge, somebody to lead us, somebody to help us. But we all are commanded. One thing is the gift. Some people say, I don't have the gift of witnessing, of being a witness. Well, God gave us the commandment. And not only to him, not only to me, not only to the missionaries, to the whole group. Amen? So we need to be able, I mean, everybody, all of us could give tracts. That's giving the gospel. A tract has the gospel. The gospel is how they could be saved. The death, burial, and resurrections for anybody that could read it heard the gospel. You get them good tracts, because some just have a whole bunch of words and at the end doesn't mean nothing. God says go, and we can go different ways. I know this lady that moved us from the time we had at the fire department. We used to meet at 1, but she wanted Sundays to invite the ladies to sew quilts so she can socialize with them, so she can talk to them about the gospel. But we got booted out. But I admire her desire to get other people to come in and join her so she could talk to them about the gospel. That was nice. I felt bad, but at the same time, I felt good. I don't know how that could be done, but I admire her that she wanted that. So, no, we won't move a day. We'll just do it at 3 o'clock. Okay. I mean, everything has to have the purpose of giving out the gospel. At work, anywhere you can. I mean, it's so easy. Here in America, it's so easy for them. Can I interest you in a little track? All the worst, ugliest thing they could say is no. But we can handle that persecution. I mean, when you go door knocking, the worst they can say, oh, it's you again. Close the door. Me and my son, the assistant pastor, went to visit somebody. They turned the water on. Boy, I mean, that persecution, we can handle it. God could, anyway, he says that he would reward us, that they don't reject us, they reject him. But brothers, we have to have the idea of putting out the gospel. Some, I know people, they still spray the people. They give him hand sanitizer. They put a mask. They set him 6 feet apart. Boy, they're becoming really small. I mean, there's nothing wrong taking care of, but we have to focus in the main purpose, in the big picture of what God is wanting us to do. I know we take precautions, and if it bothers you because a lot of people are coughing, don't get near them or put a mask or use hand sanitizers, but don't forget that any opportunity you have, that you could go to give him the gospel. Amen? Because we need it. Pastors, churches are closing because the Great Commission is not exercised. And I hope I get invited again saying all these things that I don't know here. Believe me. I don't know. But to be able to multiply, we have to be giving out the gospel. And we can do it if we're willing. I tell everybody, if there's a will, God will do the rest. He'll give us the knowledge. He'll equip us. He'll provide if we're just willing. Did you know that this is one of the Brother Ben's desire? We always talked about what could we do. I always advised him to give tracts. I don't know if he did or not, but he was always wanting to do the reach out. That's why I liked him so much. And brothers, we're supposed to be full of passion for the lost. And if we're not, we're supposed to tell God to forgive us and for us to have that fire. Because we can all do it. Different ways, different places, but we can all do it. I was seeing what you got back there, a whole bunch of missionaries. Pray for them constantly because they're in the front of the battle. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the laborers here. But get involved. Do what we do what the Lord says. We can do it. Now, the Bible says that through the persecution of Stephen, they all fled. Except the gospel. But you know what they did while they were going? The Bible says that they were giving out the word of God. You know, things have changed. And now we get a missionary here. We send a couple here. But before, you know who the ones that were responsible to reach their city? It wasn't a specific person. It was the church. The church, which includes everybody. Not just one or two. It says that those that left their place where they were, that they fled because of the persecution of Stephen, they were giving out the gospel. I don't know when it changed that we have to pay somebody to go to a different place. The idea is that missionaries that give the gospel are the ones that go. Well, how about our city? Who is the missionary here? Who's the one who's responsible in each city? Guess what? All of us, the church. And brothers, we might not be called missionaries, but God wants us to go to give that word. Who? The church. All of us. I mean, we need to be like little ants. Individually, it doesn't add up too much. But in the colony, inside the colony, they make a difference. Cesar Chavez used to say that in unity was the power. unity. And God wants to use the church, but we just have to be acknowledging that we have to go. When I talk with serious about certain people that get so technical, I tell them, look, my friend, you go to work no matter if it's raining, no matter if it's snowing, no matter if you're tired, you go. But when it comes to do the work of the Lord, you're tired, you're busy, you don't have the time, you got all these pains and aches that you just do it for God. You just don't do it for God. But if they call you when you have to go to work and you're tired, you tough it out. We tough it out. They get so tactical that they get mad and leave me. They just kind of despise me. But brothers, if we do sacrifice for secular things, for things that don't have an eternal value, I know we have to work. I know we have to. We like the money because it gets us comfortable and gets what we need. But that's secondary. God has a purpose, and don't ever forget it, that we have to be out there giving the Word of God. This is why it's called the Great Commandment. A lot of people, the Southern Baptists and other Baptist churches, use methods. Well, we're going to bring a special speaker, evangelist, and they bring the crowds. Well, they used to. I don't know now. I haven't invited one for a while. But they bring special speakers. They get all stirred up. And they bring the people. But when that speaker's gone, then everything goes to normal. Doing one thing. Sitting down. But if we're trying to give the Word of God out on a regular basis, we're going to be moving. We're going to be ordering tracts like you can't even imagine. Somebody's going to be putting the stamp if you don't order it with the address. We're going to always going to be in the lookout for opportunities. And brothers, believe me, churches are closing not because of the pandemic. That hit us hard, no doubt about it. But most of the times it's because they don't have a plan to evangelize. If I would ask you, don't raise your hand, don't blink at me, don't smile, don't look mean. If I ask you, do you know how to give the plan of salvation? What would you say? Don't answer your hand. Don't raise your hand. If I would ask, are you involved in the plan of the church to reach out? Well, I don't know if there's a plan. Brothers, if there's people that don't know how to give the gospel, you got to give them a class. You got to train them. If you have to go to their houses and do it in their houses, but they have to learn to be witness, because we have to speak what God has for them, which is the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection, that Christ resurrected, paid our sins, died and paid our sins, and was resurrected to be the Savior for anybody that wants to believe Him. It's amazing how most of the churches hardly have any youth. Well, there's a problem with the culture because Americans don't want to have kids. They have one or two or three, and you know what the Hispanics is, the average Hispanic families? 7 in the family. 5 kids. And we're talking about an average, but when there's families. My wife comes from a family of 14. I come from a family of 11. All my uncles had 12, had 11, had 14, had 9. We don't use Planned Parenthood at all. But American culture is a little bit different. But anyway, there's a high percentage of youth that don't stay in the churches as soon as they reach 18 years. I'm glad you're here, Daniel. You've been following close to your dad. Thank God for that. But most of the churches don't have any another generation to pass the torch. Yeah, they go to college. They move. They go back to the world. they get married, all these things, but we still don't have them. And I'm not talking about just a few groups. I'm talking about a big, high percentage of the churches in America. Is that to say most churches, the foreign people are growing and the English people shrinking? Why? I still can't figure it out. Well, when I was got God, I want to encourage the brothers. I want to do something to encourage them. Oh, he gave me this. And I'm still here sweating it, not wanting to say the whole thing like he told me to say it. But brothers, we need to multiply. Everything that was created with a purpose to multiply it in their own, what's the word that it uses? Their own kind. And it's obvious we're called sheep. And I thought that the Lord calls us sheep because he wanted to encourage us. But have you, anybody have read the story of the life of a sheep? Well, I know you have, son. But sheep are so. I mean, they can't defend themselves at all. They can't even drink the water. If it's moving, they can't drink it. If it's not solid ground, if it's a little bit of muddy, they sink, and the wool drives the water and drowns them. If they turn around, they can't get up. If there's a danger, all they do is freeze. Not even that. They just freeze. They don't have no horns to defend themselves. They can't run. They don't have any sense of smell. They get some sort of bug that instead of trying to rub like any animal, they hit themselves, boom, and they kill themselves. And I thought when the Lord said, you're the sheep, I'm the pastor, I thought he was giving us an encouragement. But when I read, I said, wow, he was telling us we got problems. And I said, wow, the Lord calls me a sheep, that I'm worthless, that I can't do much without him. Oh, then I started praying, okay, Lord, I understand what you meant when you said that I was a sheep. We need the Lord constantly. That's why we need to get involved. I call, even in my phone, I have it, try to pray 3 times a day. And I have you, when it rings, it lights up. You have a meeting with the Lord. In the morning, the afternoon, and at night, 9 o'clock. And brothers, that's why we need to have a fellowship with the Lord daily. I call it a revival meeting. Sometimes people get so excited with a revival meeting. That's good. But I tell them, you know what? We have to have a revival meeting every morning with the Lord. So we can leave our burdens, so we can leave all our anxiety, so we can leave all our worries, so we can start fresh. But most people don't do that. They do. They read the Bible and have a little fellowship with the Lord whenever things fit in, or when they're not tired, or where they're not busy. But no, we have to take things out of the way. I told my son, you take away your stuff, your things, your doings to let God do his in you. And brothers, we need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to be on top of everything, but more going, seeing that the gospel goes out. Now there's a little thing here that says, and baptize them. In the next verse, if you go back to Matthew 28, the second thing that's why it's called a great commission is because the other thing is baptize them. Oh, my Lord. Baptize them. In verse, what is it? 27? One moment. This runs too slow. This is not updated. It's an old one. There's no 28. It says, Go ye therefore and teach. No, that's 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, 17, I'm sorry. What? 19. Go ye therefore and teach them all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I got to speak my heart. I got to be honest with you. Some people baptize as soon as they receive Christ. And those that got baptized don't even want to come back to church. They don't want to read the Bible. And I say, that's not the purpose that God had to baptize him right away. I talked to a pastor, and she said, well, the Bible says baptize him right there and then. And I said, yeah. The only difference is that when a Jew got baptized, you know what happened? They had the knowledge. They were waiting for the Messiah. They had everything that fitted in right there. A lot of things came clear that they needed the Messiah, and they had it. Now the next thing is to follow him. But we have a whole bunch of people that never heard nothing about the Bible. We baptize them right there and then, and before they know it, they're hiding. They're avoiding the Bible, anything that has to do with the Bible. What did we accomplish God's purpose baptizing them? I don't think so. And they think I'm cruel, mean, because I tell them the truth. Hey, get people baptized that want to follow Jesus, not just anybody because they just made a decision for the Lord and they get all excited and they get baptized. If they're not going to follow the Lord, I know a lot of people in Chelan that have been baptized, but they don't want nothing to do with the Lord. Well, I baptize them. They're so full of, we baptized 15. But out of those 15, are two in the church? They were added to the church? No, I fulfilled the Great Commission. I baptized, but that's not the purpose. Now, on the other side, they gave him 8 months of training. Wow, that's kind of long, too. As soon as they make a decision, we have to teach them that they need to follow the Lord. Based on their condition, baptize them. But just to fulfill and say, we baptized 20, 30, 40, 50, but the people don't accomplish to follow God, we have not accomplished God's purpose. Because then it says, teach them to observe all things. And if you tell me what all things is, to do the same, to reach out with the lost, to reach out to the lost. Brother, tell me the truth. I'm over my time, right? Shh. Where's that? Oh. Brothers, I hope God comes and picks us up, because this world is a mess. And I got a whole bunch of problems. And I hope God comes and takes me out of this problem. But if it doesn't come, we still got to be faithful. And brothers, even if you don't know how to give the gospel, read them a tract. Read them a little tract. Have you ever tried to witness reading them a tract? I know somebody that did, and they called on the name of the Lord. This little boy said, and read the tract. And the other boy received the Lord. I was embarrassed because when I came to Christ, I didn't know how to get away from my old friends. And I told the pastor, they dragged me. I don't want to do that. I know it's wrong, but I just end up going with them, and then I get dragged into doing those ugly things. Okay, I'll tell you how to do it. You're going to open the Bible and tell them you want to tell them about Christ. I was shaking. I didn't know what I was doing. But I wanted to stay away from those people, but those people would go to my house, and I tried to hide, but They still find me. So I started reading the Bible, trying to witness to them. You know what? They ran like the pastor said, like deers. Hey, we didn't came here to hear what that the Bible. What are you doing? We're here to have fun and to go out. No, well, I'm not moving until you hear me. Well, we're not going to hear you. And they left. But I didn't know what I was doing. But I sure tried. And I was shaking. And I was like, you can't imagine. I thought I was going to die. But you know what? We all have those times that we get scared approaching people. But you know what? Practice makes perfect. If you're a professional, you got a career. It cost you. You tried and kept on until you got it. Well, it's the same thing with the spiritual things. If you try to have a meeting with the Lord every day, it's going to be hard. But you try and try and try until you accomplish it. Giving out the gospel is the same thing. I was working with that Southern Baptist Church because they told me to do a program to reach the lost. Teaching, fine. 8 months of teaching, all the church. Had Sunday school. Okay, Pastor, we need second level. Now we got to make a meeting. We got to invite them to meet with us. So whoever wants to take the challenge, go with us. You know what the pastor said? He went with us a couple of days. And then he said, you know what, Gabriel? Let's cut it short. Let's just drop it. Why, Pastor? My knees shake. They closed the door in my face when I went there. And you know what? It's not worth it. Okay, well, if you want to... You lead them. No. You're the pastor. You're the example. They're going to follow you. I'm here just going by. Well, no, let's cut it. Let's close the doors. That's just not, it won't work. Well, guess what? I told him that if he would not multiply, his church will close. And you know what? The last time I visited him, from those 8 families that he had, he has, and one of his is his wife and him and a niece. What happened? Well, those people move on, but he didn't multiply. I told him, hey, we need to get busy if we want to see results. Well, he never wanted it. He's just because he says, my knees shake. Well, welcome to the club. I have 30, 40 years and I still shake. Those big men with big mustaches, they look like Hercules. Boy, Lord, help me here because I think just by looking at them, I feel like I'm going to faint. But you know what? God makes it possible. God enables us. God gives us the courage because he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And I hope it encouraged you because we need to be reaching out. That's what the Lord has us here for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for giving us this opportunity. And Lord, what we have heard, help us apply it to our lives and help us, Lord, just love you more and be busy in what you have commanded us as church. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to for every need, every heart that might be challenged, might be afraid, might be about age or strength, that you make them a way that they could still reach out. Lord, I know you're able and I know you want for us to do it, but help us, Lord. Have a will. We ask you all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is my